WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Welcome into a new day on the program, a fun Friday here on the program, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where, as you know, you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $5 every day. And also where you can get fun toppings on your dog. Of course, you can get all the traditional toppings, but you can also get fun toppings on your dog. And today, you know, being a stormy day still, I recommend getting the baked bean topped hot dog. It's like having hot dogs and beans, but on a bun. So that Saturday night staple, and in some people's homes, Wednesday night too, you can get that at D's in a handheld form. So whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's any time this weekend, stop by D's Hot Dogs on Tarkiln Hill Road in New Bedford and tell them that you enjoy listening to Fun Friday here on WBSM. Today's Fun Friday question is going to be related to television because of the passing of George Wendt, Norm on Cheers. Last night I had a library talk in Dighton at the Old Town Hall. Thanks to everybody who came out. They packed the place. It was a full house and great crowd. They laughed at all my jokes, so that's the measure of a great crowd. But it was a really fun time. Despite the storm, I was surprised so many people came out, and it was really kind of the perfect atmosphere for what was going on. You know, it was the perfect weather to be getting spooky. But when I got home and I was just kind of relaxing a little bit before bed, I was scrolling through my phone and I found a video that had been posted online. And then Peacock, the Peacock Network, which I guess has the streaming rights to Cheers, they shared it out. And someone had gone through all 200 plus episodes of Cheers and pulled out every time George Wendt walked into Cheers and he would say, you know, good afternoon, everybody. And everybody would go, Norm. And then they'd say to him, you know, how's life treating you? Or, you know, what's the story today, Mr. Peterson? Or like whatever they would ask him. And he always had a witty comeback. And they made a supercut video of all of them from every episode. And just watch that video. I think it was like 7 or 8 minutes long. But just that video alone shows you how smart and funny the writing was for that program. And I know people say, well, it took Cheers a little while to really kind of find its voice and find its momentum. Yeah, but those jokes were funny right from the first couple of episodes. So I'm sorry they're pumping out the tank over here at the 99, there's three trucks involved. There's two pump trucks and a support vehicle. So it's probably going to be loud, and I can't do anything about it. I'm sorry. I've never seen them have two pump trucks at the same time. And that means it's going to smell really nice in here soon. This is the grease trap. So this is, I can tell by the smell, having worked in the business. Anyway. So yes, thank you to everybody that came out. I hope that everybody had a safe time in the storm. I was surprised as I was driving to Dighton. I left here about 5:30. And you're probably closer to 5:45. Thinking, you know, it's a half an hour ride. So I was like, I'll get there like 6:15. That'll be fine. And then I got slowed down because of the weather. And it wasn't so much that there was traffic or anything. It was just that I didn't feel comfortable driving any faster. I was actually hydroplaning on parts of 195 and 24. like there was just so much water and it had built up in so many spots rather, you know, rather quickly. So yesterday I had actually left. I stupidly bought a piece of furniture at Savers on Wednesday night. And I said, well, it's not going to fit in my car. How long do I have to pick it up? And they said, you have 24 hours. And so I was like, oh, that's no problem. I can come back tomorrow. Not thinking that it was going to be a nor'easter. But great crew over there helped me load it up. And, you know, I got minimally wet. But even then, at like 10 o'clock in the morning, as the storm was kind of just starting to roll in here, it was hard to drive. So I hope everybody was safe getting around and stayed in if they didn't need to. I mean, obviously, you know, we've driven in rainstorms before. We know what we're doing. But, you know, this was kind of like a sneaky storm. Like the danger was kind of sneaky. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So you're probably wondering then, if it is Fun Friday, what is today's Fun Friday question? Timmy said it was going to be TV related. So because Norm on Cheers was such a key component of the comedy of that show, there was a few times that the main plot revolved around him. But as an ensemble show, you know, everybody's going to get that. And it really became an ensemble. It started off as, you know, Sam and Diane. And that's what got people interested. But it became more of an ensemble over the years where every character's story was just as important. And but that showed, like, the efficiency of having one of those characters where even having them in the scene, like, George Wendt could be sitting on the bar stool not saying anything, but having him in the scene was valuable because, you know, that paid off later on in the story, or he was there for one quick quip or whatever. And so he really was one of the true great kind of supporting characters of TV history. So today's question is, who are the funniest supporting characters on a TV show? And probably specifically sitcoms, but I'm sure there are some funny supporting characters. You know, you could say Howie Mandel when he was on St. Elsewhere is kind of the comic relief, but he, you know, had his dramatic role, his dramatic moments too. But who was the funniest TV supporting character? I mean, you've got a lot of contenders for that. I think if you ask people of, you know, my generation, the Generation X, you're going to get a lot of votes for Kramer from Seinfeld. If you ask people from, you know, a little bit older generation, maybe they'll say Klinger on MASH. Or, you know, I guess, you know, you could count Edith Bunker as more of a supporting character than a lead. I'm trying to think of, you know, some other like really standout ones to kind of give you the guideline of what we're talking about here. But who are the funniest TV supporting characters? Just anybody who isn't the star. Obviously, you know, Red Fox was the star of Sanford and Son. So he's not a supporting character. You expect that character, the lead character, to be the funny one in the comedy. Sophia from The Golden Girls, you know, Estelle Getty, she would be a supporting character. You know, the person that's like third, fourth, fifth, sixth introduced in the opening credits. And I think that there's a lot of people, a lot of characters that you say, well, you know, they weren't integral to the plot, but the show wouldn't have been nearly as funny without them. And sometimes those characters become the star of their show. Look at Steve Urkel, a character that was written for just one episode, became so popular they started bringing him back for more episodes, and then eventually became the star of the show. It became the Steve Urkel show. I mean, people forget, when that show started, the star, the central point of that show was supposed to really be the mother. It was a spinoff of Perfect Strangers. That was her character from Perfect Strangers. And this was supposed to be like, this is her and her family. But that didn't last. You know, it became kind of a traditional family sitcom where the dad, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, the dad still played a strong role in those sitcoms. And then it turned into the Steve Urkel show eventually. And I guess you could say the same thing happened with The Simpsons, right? The show was originally really about Bart Simpson more than anything. Most of those early episodes were about Bart, but then Homer became the central focus. So anyway, that can be today's fun Friday topic. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We also have a story at the website and on the app. As I mentioned yesterday, with New Bedford being designated a Purple Heart City. So in that story, not only can you find details about that, but we have your rundown of all of the Memorial Day observances that are happening in the city this weekend. So if you want to attend one or many or all of those, we have the rundown for it all there for you. Also, another story, we don't have it up on the website. It came out after I had left or while I was getting ready to leave. But the city wanted to warn us that a bat was found in the vicinity of Fire Station 8 on Acushnet Avenue. So that is, you know, we've talked a lot about Morna Lounge. That's a block away from Morna Lounge. It's kind of right across from the Cove restaurant there. What's it? Cove 1606. So that in that area, they found a bat with rabies. And I'm thinking that because they said they found it in the area of Station 8, I'm wondering if it was, you know, at the station. They've got that big tower. Not, you know, that big kind of lookout point on top of it. So maybe that was where they found it. I don't know. They didn't give too many details about the exact location, but again, it is something to be concerned about. There was another local municipality that put out a story that rabies was found in town. So it's, you know, and I hate to say it's going around because it's always around, but you've really got to be careful. And someone once told me, they said, you know, probably 75% of the time that you think an animal is rabid, it isn't. But that 25%, you don't want to have to go through what you have to go through if they bite you. Or if they get to your pet and your pet has to be put down. And they said, you can never really be certain, so just assume that they do. And I've seen way too many videos on social media, because I think people like to do it on social media, of people approaching wild animals and, you know, oh, I'm going to get them to come up in my lap, and oh, I'm going to get them to sit with me, and oh, I'm going to pat them. And you just got to be careful with that. Because if a normally wild animal seems like he's interested in you, it might not be because he thinks that you have some peanuts in your pocket. It might be because he's rabid and going crazy. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. 6:30 in the morning is perfectly fine for some Jocko Homo by Devo. Are we not men? We are Devo. And if you don't know the whole backstory of Devo, it's fun. They're the De-Evolutionary Army. It's crazy. It's weird. It's fun. Fun music. And certainly different. Anyway, let's go into the news now and get all the top stories of the day with Mike Roberts.
A deadly plane crash in San Diego, a change on the warning label for COVID vaccines, and a stowaway found guilty in a New York courtroom.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The FAA says six people were on board the plane that crashed into a military housing neighborhood in San Diego yesterday morning. The Cessna 550 left New Jersey and stopped in Kansas for fuel before continuing on in foggy conditions. Eight people on the ground suffered minor injuries. The music agency Sound Talent Group reported three of their employees were killed in the crash. The FDA is ordering COVID-19 vaccine makers to expand their warning labels. They're telling Pfizer and Moderna to let people know about the risk of possible heart inflammation related to shots, especially in teenage boys and young men. Moderna's warning label now issues such a warning for males 18 to 24, while Pfizer's specifies 12 to 17. The new warning labels for both companies will specify ages 16 through 25. New York City will be holding a ticker tape parade for post-9/11 veterans next year. Mayor Eric Adams says the parade, called the Homecoming of Heroes, will pay tribute to the service and the sacrifice of post-9/11 combat veterans.
It will formally recognize the more than 2.9 million Americans who bravely served during the global war on terror in Iraq and Afghanistan.
The parade in the Canyon of Heroes of Lower Manhattan will take place July 6th of next year. Adams says the parade will include members of numerous city and state agencies that had an impact after the 9/11 terror attacks. A study called Vital, touting the anti-aging benefits of vitamin D.
Dr. Joanne Manson, a preventive medicine expert at Harvard Medical School, tracked 50,000 people over 50 for 5 years and found that vitamin D supplements may help slow down biological aging by as much as 3 years. The study shows vitamin D seems to protect telomeres on your chromosomes that shrink as you age and are linked to heart issues, cancer, and other chronic medical conditions. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
The woman accused of sneaking onto a flight from New York's JFK to Paris last November is being found guilty. A Brooklyn federal jury convicted 57-year-old Svetlana Dali yesterday after she pleaded not guilty to a count of stowaway on an aircraft without consent. During her trial, she admitted she didn't have a boarding pass when she got on the fully booked Delta flight and hid in the bathroom for most of the trip. Dali was arrested again 3 weeks later after that on a Greyhound bus from Buffalo to Canada while out on bail. She now will face up to 6 months behind bars. President Trump says lowering the cost of drugs may end up being his most significant thing his administration will do.
And now they're going down maybe by 89. I'm telling you, 89% in two instances, 89% cut. Nobody's ever seen anything like it.
Speaking yesterday at a Make America Healthy event, Trump said the way he's challenging high drug prices will resonate for generations. He added the U.S. has been subsidizing the low cost of drugs in other nations, and that's going to stop. Last week, Trump signed an executive order aimed at slashing prescription drug prices. Memorial Day weekend travel rush is on. TSA regional spokesperson Dan Velez says the agency is ready.
Normally, when you have a holiday falling on a Monday, your Thursdays and Fridays prior to that Monday are always going to be very busy.
Peak crowds still expected today, with the FAA looking at record-breaking travel. Over 3.5 million people expected to get to their destinations by plane. Meanwhile, AAA estimating about 45 million Americans will hit the road, and that would break a previous record set in 2005. Family of the Menendez brothers say they're okay with the parole hearing delay.
Relatives of Eric and Lyle Menendez say they are actually welcoming a 2-month delay in the brothers' parole hearing. They say it gives them more time to prepare a case in support of their release. The parole hearing had been originally set for June 13th, but that's rescheduled to August 21st and 22nd. The brothers had been serving life without parole until a judge resentenced them to 50 years to life. The resentencing makes them immediately eligible for parole because they were under 26 when they killed their parents. I'm Jim Roop.
WBSM Sports.
Yesterday's Red Sox game rained out. They'll play two today. Orioles are in town. First game at 1:35. Second of the split doubleheader is at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Not as soggy as yesterday was, but we are still looking at a couple of showers here, not just this morning, but a few lingering into the afternoon as well here on the South Coast. Temperatures chilly, though, starting the day in the low 40s, and then by the end of the afternoon, we're only in the low and mid 50s. Things get better as we head into Memorial Day weekend. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. It is Fun Friday here on the program, and our Fun Friday question is, who is the funniest TV supporting character? So your favorite, really just who made you laugh the most on a TV show? That's really just boils down to that question. Who made you laugh the most on a TV show, on a sitcom or on a drama, you know, something like that, in honor of George Wendt. So there's a big story for restaurant folks out there, and I know a lot of the restaurants in the area listen to WBSM. I know you have us on in the kitchen while you're working, and some even have us on in the dining room. And one thing that anybody who works in the restaurant business is familiar with, at least if you are the owner or the manager or the person responsible for ordering, I think many people are familiar with Restaurant Depot. You know, you order all your stuff from your supplier, and let's see. So when I worked at the diner, our suppliers was, we had Luzo. Luzo used to come to us, and then that became Cisco. We had U.S. Foods. We had DeAndrea. You know, all these different, like, it depends on what you were getting. Meat, your dairy. Our dairy was White Brothers. Our bread was Sunbeam. Our vegetables came from Dekus right around the corner from the diner. But I think most people are familiar that some of those deliveries, you know, your bigger deliveries, you didn't get them every day. It was maybe once a week. So what happens if you run out of something? Where can you go? You don't want to go and pay retail prices and then go and try and, you know, utilize that. That's a last ditch effort to keep something on the menu. No. You would go to a place like Restaurant Depot. Or what if you needed some things and, you know, equipment? What if you needed, you know, plates, silverware? You would go to Restaurant Depot. So most people in the business know. I mean, I've never been in myself. I never had to be the person to go. But most people are aware of its existence in the restaurant industry. And those who go to it, and some people kind of go to it exclusively, or maybe if not exclusively, you know, they make it part of their monthly routine. And for the longest time, you could only get into it if you were in the business. You had to be approved for membership with, you know, proving that you were from a restaurant or a nonprofit organization that serves food or, you know, whatever it might be, or a catering company. And then after the pandemic, they kind of opened it up for anybody to go. You can get what's called a one-day pass. So you can't become a member per se and, you know, get the member benefits, but you can get a one-day membership, kind of like BJ's, only you never get to actually join. But the people who have wanted to go there have had to travel. They've had to go to either Cranston, Rhode Island, or most people went to Avon. I guess the Avon facility, I've only driven by it, I've never been inside, is huge. So, needless to say, many in the restaurant business are very excited that Restaurant Depot is coming to New Bedford. We announced that a year ago. So a year ago, we were talking about how Ollie's was going to be opening up in the former Shaw's on Kings Highway. And Ollie's was only taking up half of that space. And the other half was going to be Restaurant Depot. And like we had kind of heard those rumblings back then. I mean, I guess I can tell you my source now. War 3 Counselor Sean Oliver told me. He's like, I've heard Restaurant Depot is going in the other side. And so we were reporting that then, and people got excited. And then we started to hear like messages now and then or get emails like, hey, what's going on with that Restaurant Depot you said was coming in? But then the signage went up and people started to feel better about it. And they're like, okay, all right, this is happening. But it still seemed to take quite a while. Well, now we have an official opening date. So when I was over at Savers picking up some that furniture I bought yesterday, I happened to just drive through over there and saw that they had a banner up that said they'll be opening on June 25th. And you could read more details about Restaurant Depot and some links over to what it's all about at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But we've got so many restaurants on the South Coast that I think it's going to be very successful there. And while it's not going to be as big as Avon, think about this. If this turns out to be a successful... So one of the comments I keep seeing is, I guess it's somebody that must be working there or is familiar with it or something, because they're commenting on the story saying, unlike other stores, it's not going to have fresh seafood. It's only going to have frozen, which makes sense. Why would you get fresh seafood at Restaurant Depot in New Bedford when you can get it right off the boat and you can get it from, great fish markets and all of that? So that part makes sense. But they're saying like some of the other things, won't be available that you might find in other Restaurant Depots because of the size of the store. Well, here's the thing. Is if it's successful, who's to say that it can't expand in the future? There is space for a Restaurant Depot on the South Coast. There's probably space for a Restaurant Depot in New Bedford. I know we say we don't have a lot of, developable land, but you could put a Restaurant Depot somewhere. So if this store, is successful, if this location for it is successful, I could see it expanding in the future, especially because we don't know what the future is of that plaza over there. The plaza next to it was sold for $14 million. And somebody paid that so that they can level it and turn it into a different setup now that the train is here. Now, I would think you'd have like a, multi-story apartment building with commercial space on the bottom. But you could have a totally revamped Kings Highway in 10 years. And that could be where a bigger Restaurant Depot would be as well. So I think you're going to get a lot of people that are going to be very excited for that. And I'm happy for them. They don't have to drive to Avon anymore. I got to take a quick break and then we'll come back to a call. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. Our friend over at Southern Mass Alerts on Twitter says 3.15 inches of rain in New Bedford. And that's so far, because we've got some more that'll probably come down this morning. All right, let's go to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Hands down, Barney Fife, Don Knotts on the Andy Griffith Show. This guy would make me laugh my head off. Absolutely hilarious. And it's a classic, that show. It's like timeless. You've seen it years ago, and today it's just as funny as it was back then.
I always love the fact that he had one bullet and he had to keep it in a shirt pocket.
Oh, wasn't that great? I know. He was a riot. Absolutely hysterically funny. The things that he would do and say It's just amazing. It was great. There were great writers on that show anyway. But you took my MASH. MASH was always a favorite show of mine. I absolutely love MASH. And I know my mother loved Klinger. He was her favorite. Well, because he made everybody laugh. The things he would do and say in war. But, yeah, Andy Griffith's show, Don Knotts, love him. He's just hilarious.
And so I came into watching that show and watching, you know, some of those older shows, like obviously in the 80s when I was a kid and they were in reruns. So I saw, you know, Don Knotts on the Andy Griffith Show as Barney Fife in, say, in the morning, watching Andy Griffith on Channel 38. And then in the afternoon, watching Three's Company on 56, I would see him as Mr. Furley. So I saw that dichotomy, but I always thought it must have been a pretty sharp change for people to watch, you know, Three's Company and be like, wait, Barney Fife is kind of mean on Three's Company, as you know.
Yep. So he was a totally different character, exactly.
Yeah.
Totally different. You know, it was very interesting to see him in a different genre like that, because normally he was the bumbling idiot in everything he did, in Apple Dumpling Gang, the Apple Dumpling Gang, all kinds of movies and things. He was hilarious. You know, he just was out there, but and couldn't do anything. Right, it seemed. Everything he did, everything he touched, you know, it turned, it went wrong.
As a kid, too, I was a huge fan of The Incredible Mr. Limpet. They used to run that on Channel 56 all the time.
Yes, I love that, too. Yes.
And I only learned a few years ago that a limpet is actually a real sea creature. Like, that's where they got the name from a sea snail.
Mm-hmm. I actually have that movie, I believe. I believe I have that somewhere in my arsenal, but he's great. He's so funny, and you get him together with Tim Conway, and the two of them, oh my God, what a scream! Because they're both, you know, of that same kind of genre. You know, the characters that they play,
right? Yeah,
but yeah, that was my TV show that I wanted to say, because I just remember everybody in my family just screaming with laughter when Barney was trying to especially when he was trying to recite. It was something to do with politics, and it was, he had to recite Declaration of Independence. No, it wasn't the Declaration of Independence. I forget what it was, but he had to recite, we the people, for the people, by the people.
The Constitution?
And the Constitution, thank you. I couldn't, it's too early in the morning for me. I'm getting ready to go to a doctor's appointment. But yes, and the things that would come out of his mouth, that he was messing that up, like there was, it was hilarious. You were crying. You were laughing so much. It was on the floor. It was amazingly funny.
Right,
and he couldn't recite that to save himself.
Well, mark that down as one vote for Barney Fife.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, well, you have a good day and a good weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. We got to take a break here, or get our final break in before the end of the hour. We'll be right back. All right. We are going to be going into the news. We're going to get the ABC news for everything going on in the country and around the world. And then the South Coast news with Mike Roberts. And then we will have more time to discuss both serious things going on in the world and our fun Friday question today, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. Who is TV's funniest all-time supporting character? So we have one vote for Barney Fife already.